Mornings on the Mall. I'm Rick Fowler. Mary Walter is here. Brian and Larry off today. We are joined by James Carafano, the Vice President for the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. James, it's great to have you with us on WMAL.
It's good to be with you.
All right, so President Obama on Friday, end of the year press conference. Here's what he had to say.
In early September, when I saw President Putin in China, I felt that the most effective way to ensure that that didn't happen was to talk to him directly and tell him to cut it out, and there were going to be some serious consequences if he didn't.
All right, so that's what the president said. Donna Brazil was on ABC News over the weekend. She said, quote, "They came after us absolutely every day until the end of the election. They tried to hack into our system repeatedly." Who's got it right here?
Well, I think this is going to go down in history as a case study in how not to respond to cyber aggression. I mean, we've been dealing with the Russians and the Chinese for the entire 8 years of the presidency. They've come after us time and time again. And to be honest, the president just looks feckless and incapable. So you warn the Russian president, and they continue to do it, and nothing happens. So it's not a bright, shiny moment in terms of the respect and the influence that the President of the United States has exerted over the last 8 years over arguably two of the most important countries on the planet.
Yeah, Jim, this is Mary Walter. Good morning. I just chuckled. I just laughed when I heard Obama say, "Well, I told them to cut it out." Really? It just sounded so just ridiculous, as you said, feckless and ineffectual, and no one believes, because he is probably one of the weakest presidents I can remember anyway. So I just found the entire thing hilarious and just so typical. There's such the cherry on the top of the sundae that was Obama and his foreign policy. Let's contrast Trump. What do you think? How do you think Trump is going to differ from Obama when it comes, like if the Russians had done this when Trump's president?
Well, there's two reasons why this is an important case study. One is, in a sense, because I think the U.S. has come off looking very weak and ineffectual, not just over the course of the campaign, but over the last several years, particularly when you look at competition in the cyberspace. I think that's unarguable. But the other thing is, this really reflects the most difficult kind of foreign policy problems, the kind where there's a political issue wrapped into a foreign policy issue. If you think back, mm-hmm. for example, to really difficult days, like Katrina or the debate over the Dubai World ports, where you had arguably a legitimate national security foreign policy situation, but it was wrapped into people having political agendas and putting those political agendas above trying to figure out what the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the most intractable problems. So if I'm Donald Trump, I'm getting a case study here in kind of the toughest challenges to solve. So when you say, well, how would a President Trump deal with that? I think part of the reason why President Obama was trapped like a deer in the headlights was he had his political priorities, and he had his obligation as the commander in chief, mm-hmm. and he had a very difficult time reconciling those two. And essentially, at the end, it made him ineffective at both. And so I think for the lesson of Donald Trump is, you're the commander-in-chief. You have to be Harry Truman. You have to be Ronald Reagan. You have to put your personal politics and how it's going to affect your party and the political scene in the United States second to the vital interests of the United States. And if you do that, then you cut through the Gordian knot of the kind of situation that we've seen in the way the Russians try to insert themselves in our political campaign season.
Mary, you used the term ineffectual. James, you used the term ineffective. The United States, the United Nations Security Council will vote today on a resolution on Syria's Aleppo. And it reminds me of the red line, and again, ineffectual. What is next on Syria? What can the UN do? What does Donald Trump do?
Well, but here's the brutal truth about Syria since day one of the civil war, which is, as long as the Iranians, which is a word that we don't talk enough when we talk about Syria, we're always talking about the Russian support. The Iranians are in deep just as much as the Russians. As long as the Iranians and the Russians are backing Assad, Assad's not going anywhere. Nobody's going to start World War III to change that dynamic. So that's just a reality. And in terms of dealing with ISIS or whatever terrorists there are, the Russians and the Iranians are happy to do that to the extent that it helps them keep Assad in power. So to be honest, the United States has very little leverage over this incredible catastrophe and genocide. But the flip side of that is Syria is, look, the regime in Syria has been anti-American for generations. It's never limited our ability to exercise our and protect our interests in the Middle East. That's also a true thing. But I think what we have to be careful of here, there's a difference between saying the United States has very limited leverage here and that the United States should tolerate, support, or even look like it is sanctioning really what is a genocide on the part of Assad, which is intentionally supported by the Russians and the Iranians.
Where do you think Trump is going to come down on this, on the Aleppo issue?
Well, this is kind of, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because the Russians and the Iranians are driving the train here. And, the President of the United States can have any opinion they want. Doesn't change the facts on the ground. What I don't want the U.S. to do is to lose the moral high ground here. This is a genocide. Someday, hopefully, those people will be brought to justice. Certainly, they should never be allowed to be members of the international community again. So I wouldn't be cutting deals with Assad. I wouldn't be cutting deals with the Russians. Mm-hmm. They would, to me, forever be an outlier. But on the other hand, remember Pol Pot in Cambodia, who committed mm-hmm. one of the most horrific genocides in history. There was an obligation on part of the United States to go invade Cambodia and save it from Pol Pot. But, eventually that regime was taken down and brought to justice. North Korea, there's a lot of talk about bad people. North Korea has the most vicious, dictatorial, and oppressive regime on the planet. We're not going to go invade North Korea here. But there's an important distinction here. There's a difference between reflecting the limits of our interests, right, and the moral responsibility to reject, which really is a modern genocide.
James Carafano, the Vice President for the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. James, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.